And welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm your host, Tracy Peterson, and we are focusing on the Tuolumne County Community Development Department and the Public Works Department.
The two departments were created following the restructuring of Tuolumne County Community Resources Agency, which led to the release of Director David Gonzalez. The Board of Supervisors, during budget talks, voted to formally hire his two assistants as the new Community Development and Public Works Directors.
Here with us, both directors for those departments, we have Quincy Yaley, who is the Community Development Director, and we have Kim McFarlane, the Public Works Director. And first off, for Community Development, what are some of the bigger projects going through the review process right now, Quincy?
Well, we have a new hotel project that's about 60 rooms. It's proposed at the corner of Hess and Mono Way in East Sonora. Also in East Sonora, near Standard Park, we just went through a process to approve a subdivision with about 29 homes. And so that should be coming online and then through the next couple of years. We do have several commercial development projects along the Highway 120 corridor, including a hotel, a glamping project, which is fancy camping, and also a ropes course. In Jamestown, we're looking at a new possible recreation, commercial recreation use down there. And we did also just receive a townhome development in East Sonora. So the planning side is really busy. In terms of building permits, we were processing the City of Berkeley camp. They are coming through with, this is the camp that burned down in the Rim Fire. Mm-hmm. And so they're finally ready to come through, and they're looking to hoping to start construction this spring.
That's great.
We have a senior housing project located on Eagle Ridge Drive in Sonora, and also we have a new brewery going into Big Oak Flats. So you know, other departments review those building permits, so, and it's not just that building and planning are busy, environmental health as well as public works and survey. Everyone works on those projects, so it's been really busy right now in the CDD department.
I wanted to talk to you about also, because a big thing that I hear from people on the street, the segment that I do asking people in the Motherlode questions, one of the big topics is always affordable housing. It sounds like some of these projects maybe will help with that.
Well, the projects that we are coming through aren't necessarily affordable housing projects, but they do increase our housing stock in the county, which then we, you know, we call it the housing ladder. So then as we have maybe a more mid or upper range home become available, someone can climb into that home, and that frees up that unit that might be a little bit less expensive. So these projects do help just increase housing stock in general, despite the fact that these are not specifically affordable housing projects.
But it brings some relief.
Absolutely.
Because there's not enough houses.
We're short on houses in all income brackets. So any time that we can improve any homes that help just increase the number of units on the market is a good thing.
Now, can you do anything about rent prices?
Can't do anything about rent prices.
Just kidding. That's the other complaint. Now, I also wanted to ask you, what are you noticing when it comes to building permits being requested?
Well, this year we had another record number of building permits. In 2019, we had a record number of building permits come through. At the end of 2019, the building permit went through what we call a code cycle change. And so every 3 years, the state changes the rules and regulations regarding the construction of buildings and other appurtenances and things like that. So that was going to be happening at the end of 2019. So we saw a big increase in building permits this year, people trying to beat the clock, basically. So because new regulations always increase costs. So whereas in the beginning of January and spring, we saw maybe just a couple of single family homes coming in every month. In December, we had 62. So we did, at the end of this year, see a really big push in single-family homes, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But also just general, there's some commercial projects coming through, remodels and things like that. So it's really across the board. It's a big mix of projects that come through the Building and Safety Division. But definitely at the end of 2019, we saw a huge uptick in single-family dwellings.
And recently, during the New Year holiday, the Building Permit and Development Desk Department was closed for a couple of extra days. What are the benefits of doing that occasionally?
So occasionally we do a random closure. We do them right now 2 days at a time, or 2 days in a row, and it allows our staff time to review and process these building permits. Like I said, it's not just the Building and Safety Divisions that need to look at these things. It's a lot of other people who need to put their hands on those permits and evaluate them and move them along. So when we close the building, we're really able to focus focus those employees' time and deal with the backlog of building permits that builds up as we do have right now. So we do the two-day closures. They are random. If people are interested in getting notices about when those things are going to happen, they can call our offices at 533-6920 and leave a message with their email. And that way we'll put them on our email distribution list and they'll get press releases when we're going to do the closures. Also, if you just go to our homepage and click on our website and there's a web address, you can send us an email that way too. So we really want to work on getting the word out to people so that they aren't disappointed when they come to our offices and we happen to be having a closure.
Switching now to public works. Kim, I got to tell you, a lot of people complain about the conditions of our roads. And I have to say, just the other day, I was driving down Washington Street and Highway 49. And near O'Hare Drive, there's a pothole there that I almost hit.
It's in the city of Sonora limits, but not. I'm just kidding. We'll look into it.
Yeah. No, and honestly, I know it's not your fault that, you know, it's winter, it's the weather, it's what roads do. But how do you decide which roads get attention first?
Yeah, so we get asked this a lot. Since 2007, the county's maintained a pavement management program, which is a software called Street Saver. And this is for documenting road conditions. It forecasts our pavement maintenance and our scheduling of maintenance funds for the entire county. Our teams, like we have a couple of inspectors, and they go out and they actually inspect the road conditions and they bring that data back and it goes into the software program. This identifies overall condition by rating half-mile segments, which for our county is not great. We have an overall network average, and it's called a pavement condition index. It's a rating scale of between 0 and 100, 100 being best. And our overall average for the county is about 33 for our 500-plus miles of paved roads. We then take this list of roads requiring attention and we categorize them into major and minor collectors and our local roads. And of course, the most heavily used roads get the attention first. The team reviews this list. They assess the treatments that are required as well as our estimated costs. And then we bring a proposed list to the Board of Supervisors for a decision.
How are the road projects funded and are the road funds enough to repair the roads?
Right. So we get a state gasoline tax. For every gallon of gasoline we pump into our vehicles, the state of California collects a few cents of gas tax. The state then distributes that money back into California counties using a formula based on each county's number of registered vehicles. This money becomes a special revenue called the road fund. It is very restricted. We can only use it on road and transportation purposes, for roads and transportation purposes. Then there's also the federal and state grants, and those are more for your bridges. If we have any storm damage like we've had in 2017 and 2018 and Q&A Mill for 2019, those become then the federal and state grants. And those are completely separate and require a lot of oversight. And are the road funds enough to repair our roads? The short answer is no, they're absolutely not. With an average PCI of 33, for us to maintain a roadway network in good state of repair, the county needs about $220 million over the next 20 years, and that's about $11 million a year. This amount would only be for pavement. It doesn't even include the cost of maintaining our 50-plus bridges, our culverts, traffic signals, street signs, guardrails. So currently the county operates with an allocation of $3.5 million, a huge shortfall for road maintenance, and only about $1.1 million of that is spent on pavement. So, and I will say that, you know, just to give a little background to some of the listeners, up until a couple of years ago, gas tax revenues were on a steep decline due in part to inflation and improved vehicle fuel efficiency. So the lack of funding resulted in years of deferred maintenance and aging equipment, and now we have a county of failing roads. So we're starting to get more of those funds back through SB1, which was really got going in 2018, but it won't make up for all the years of neglect.
I was going to ask you, because obviously the gas tax is controversial, and I was wondering, from your perspective, are we getting our money's worth?
We've definitely seen an increase. We've upped our staff. Our road crews were down to a really skeleton level where we weren't able to plow our roads in a timely fashion, you know, a couple of years ago. Now we're increasing our staff. And, of course, this year we've been pretty lucky with snow, but last year we had very low snow levels, and that really took its toll. So... and then we're able to replace some of our aging equipment, and that's really a necessity. We still have a lot on our wish list, but so it's not, I always say it's not a panacea, but it's definitely helping.
We have to take another break here, but of course we are talking with Tuolumne County's Director of Community Development, Quincy Yelly, and Director of Public Works, Kim McFarland. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small, and we'll be right back.